Judgment Day in Pool A and B. Last pool games for today. Important games for South Africa, for Japan, and of course for everybody else, because everything was still on the line on this last pool game. Everybody could have ended up in the second round or be eliminated. We talk about it today with Kevin Martinez, Toby Walter, and Super Sub for today.
Oh, yeah.
Tane Payton, big shoes to fill because Pascal Kina couldn't attend this podcast. So, welcome to the Hockey PC. So, guys, two South Africans.
That's a good joke.
South Africa played today against Australia. It was a severe beating. 9-2 against one of the best teams in the world. Was it a correct result? And I'm looking at you.
Yeah, both of you. I was hoping you're looking at Kev more than me, but I think obviously 9-2 is huge, eh? But it's always a fair result. I mean, yeah, you could maybe put a few more on the board, but even actually you could have even put a couple more on the board for South Africa towards the end, but yeah, they're always going to be a tough outfit to beat Australia. They're pretty good.
Was there some confidence in a good result from the South Africans?
Yeah, but I think realistically they probably knew they weren't going to win. And they're probably trying to go through a process and improve certain things. Didn't see much improvement there. And for me, again, not a inspiring performance from the South African boys. Even though they did score two goals, Spoonie missed a stroke, could have had three. What Tano said, the Aussie boys could have scored a couple more. I think Estienne Creek had a good second half. So good for him, well done. But the South Africans didn't start well enough.
Australia did their job and they did it quite seriously until the end. Mm-hmm. Even though South Africa had a few chances to score. I think my personal goal of the tournament was scored today by Tevin Kok.
Yes.
very nice goal, yeah. Great pass before. It's a pity that it's just the second goal for South Africa. They had a couple of chances. Ryan Julius before, I think it was, had a great chance.
But yeah, they at that moment the game was already played.
Yes, but it gets a bit more confidence also for the team for the upcoming game they have to play in the World Cup, maybe to score two, three more goals. And they had the chances. It's a pity.
Yeah, you see at the end of the game, when there was actually, excuse my language, fuck what to play for, they started playing nicely. And that's the South Africa that we saw in the last couple of games in the Nations Cup. In the, was it the Olympics previously, where they had nothing to lose and they just played. And that's where they play their dangerous hockey. So I want to see much more of that. And I don't know what's happening with them, but I don't see that freedom, that creativity. And Tobes, you forgot your friend's goal. Beals also scored a cracker. Yeah.
Beals got a goodie.
So true. Great receive, next touch goal.
Yeah, fantastic.
Between the legs of the keeper, amazing. On the other hand, we also saw some nice goals of... Australia.
There's too many to remember and go through them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But it's worth mentioning it.
Yeah, for sure.
The same feeling after the game against France for the Kookaburras, where they started very well and near the end of the game, they take the foot off the pedal and they just let time tick away and wait for the final hurdle.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think as a coach, you want your team to fully play through the whole game, but it's so unrealistic. Because you know it's not going to happen. So as much as you want it to happen, and it would be fantastic if Australia could keep that momentum going and see if South Africa could have stayed in their little fights that they had on the field, but it's unrealistic. It didn't happen. And Australia also, as Toby said earlier, they got their job done. They have now a rest of 5 days and they have the next match.
Were the Australians better than they were against Argentina? Or is that difficult to say after a game against South Africa?
It's a bit of a hard one. You can't really compare like apples and pears there. The Argies play like quite a controlled kind of style of hockey where I think they got more, they got a bit more structure to what they're doing. And the South Africans, even the French guys attempted, but I guess they just don't have that experience to kind of hold off the Aussies as well as the Argies did. Mm. Their best options were literally is to just try and score against these bigger teams for me. So, you can't really compare the Aussies or the Australians when they played against the Aussies or the French and the South Africans.
The South Africans and the French, they also come out in a back five or back three, however you look at it. The Argentinians not really, so they have more numbers behind the ball. So every time South Africa lost the ball today, there was a lot of space to counterattack into. And that's where they got opened up a little bit. Whereas in the Argentinian game, the space was really small, and we spoke about how compact they were, how defensively good they were. And credit to South Africa for trying to push the field, make the field nice and big. But against Australia, the field is far too big and the spaces are too big to run after those athletes for so long.
Yeah, I mean, as you make the field bigger against Aussie, they make it equally as big against you, right? Yep. So it's not really much you encounter there.
Blake Govers had a big game, 4 goals today. Also scored that equalizing goal against Argentina, important goal in the end. He was named man of the match, deserved man of the match.
I think deserved for him. I think he played well. He started the game really well, and that's what gets Australia going. He starts the game well. That's something we spoke about with Christopher Ruhr. You need to be that guy that's going to score the first one or two goals. Mm-hmm. Blake did it at the beginning of the game. The game is directly finished. Yeah. And he's the guy that scored those crucial goals. So well done.
Yeah, he missed out the first game of the tournament, already at 5 goals right now because of his 4 goals of today. Yeah, he shows he's a prolific goal scorer, right? Mm.
Yes, and you see he comes on the field after 3 minutes and scores a minute later, he's on. Mm-hmm. It's his quality. And he proved today that he's an amazing striker.
No surprises there. Australia topped the pool. Maybe we expected him to get 9 points, but 7 out of 9. Good enough for Colin Batch's team. And therefore, they go immediately to the quarterfinal. So that was the first game of today in that same pool. That was the game between Argentina and France. Due to that big win of Australia, the Argentinians knew they wouldn't be able to win the pool because I can't see them win with how many goals did they have to score?
I think 13 they had to 13, score.
13, yeah. 13. It's impossible.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing.
Okay, but against the French team that also could go to the second round as the number two in the pool. It was the most exciting game of the day, no? And by far,
sure.
I mean, you said that Argentina had to score 13 and they start off in the second minute with the 1-0. So hopes were getting up.
Yeah.
But our friends from France, they had something to say against this and they counted 2-1 all. And then we had a nice open game where it was going back and forth.
Yeah, what a cool game. I think that goal, that game is so far my favorite game of the tournament. It was really nice and you could
even better than England against India.
Oh, that was chaos.
Yeah, because that was up and down. It was great as a spectator, but this game, yeah, it had more. Besides the French defense that I think were not present in a lot of the goals that Argentina scored, I think it was a really top, cool game to watch.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you see a lot of goals as well. Huh? I mean, there were also moments where it was really chaotic and not a lot of structure, not a lot of good defending. And it's not like they played out the defense and scored amazing goals. It makes it more exciting when there are a lot of goals.
No, but I think
also the storyline changed. One time the French were going to the second place, then the Argentinians back. And it really, you felt during that game, it was important to become second because if you became third, you would play against Belgium or against Germany. Now it's Germany. We'll talk about the other pool, of course, later. But yeah, you felt really during the game, this is important to become second in the pool.
Matt Tobes, I disagree with you. I think personally, the French boys targeted that game as a game to win in their pool.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it. You saw a different mentality from a lot of them, which was nice to see. And they didn't just come out and play.
Yeah.
And they had big belief in themselves. And some of them played a lot better than they've played this tournament. And that was why I was happy to see that. And there was a lot of on-field battles and personal things going on, which I find really interesting. Between the drag flicker, the goalkeeper, the umpire. Video umpire.
Yeah, what happened there? Because it was a high ball. Tommy Santiago came in between and pushed the ball away. Also touched the stick of the Argentinian attacker, and therefore was a penalty stroke.
Yeah, if the goalkeeper comes out and intentionally breaks it down, and he's not within 5 when the ball is coming down, it's a stroke.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. We don't see it often.
In the past, it was often a penalty corner, but
For me, it's a penalty corner. But
we spoke with Koen van Bungen, Dutch umpire at the World Cup, and he said, "Yeah, in the past, often it was a penalty corner, but we decided before the tournament we would go for a penalty stroke, which is, I think, yeah."
And I think that's something the teams are probably briefed on. I'm not sure. Yeah, I've never been to a World Cup in my life, but
they referred it. They referred it because one of the more experienced players was Mazzilli, who went to the umpire and said, "Yeah, I want to refer it because it's normally a penalty corner." And the umpire on the field even said to Mazzilli, "Are you sure? Because it's a penalty stroke." And it's
just because you don't see it. And I think well done to that umpire. It's a pity for Tommy. But well done for the umpire for having big balls and making that call. If that's the rule, you play that rule.
That's the rule. You got to make the call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it just not fair because if it's a field player, but you're it's a penalty corner.
But you're the last. You're the last man on the field.
But you're not. It's not a physical foul.
No, but it's an intentional fault in the circle. It's an intentional breakdown play.
Yeah. Okay. But if a defender kicks the ball in a circle intentionally, it's not going to be a stroke.
Depends.
Ooh, it's going to be a penalty corner and probably a card.
Sure.
It's I don't know, that's why I find it a bit
unfair towards the goalkeeper to get a stroke against you because I see it already happening.
The goalkeeper is the
second half of the season,
guy,
we're going to have 50 strokes in 22 games.
But did Tommy Santiago maybe had more chance if he didn't came into the space and just defended his goal?
Probably yes.
Yeah, but he didn't have to come out because, I don't know, 18, whoever it was, he had time to get around Tommy before the foul even happened. So if Tommy just stays on his line, then 18 can already get in there to put pressure, let him receive in the five. You saw it against India and England. Like a lot of the balls, the guys were able to be in like 4-ish meters before they put pressure.
Yeah.
And it was allowed. So yeah, it's just for me, it's not a great decision.
I think Thomas probably could have been high in the field. If you think where that high ball was thrown from, where Tommy's starting, he's starting from behind the stroke point to guard. If he's starting just a meter a little bit above there, any high ball in that area, it's going to be for the keeper all the time. It's a really hard lesson for, I think, all the keepers to learn, but it has to happen. And these umpires need to get this rule sorted out.
I just find it unfair towards the keeper.
Yeah.
Discrimination again.
Yeah, discrimination. There we have it again.
Okay. There was also a high ball in favor of the French in the first half when there was a high ball played towards Etienne Tinvé on the back line and Juan Catan.
Oh, yeah.
He had a clear aerial tackle. No danger at all. Got a penalty against. Fortunately for Argentina, the penalty corner didn't end up in a goal, but nobody knows on the field in what direction the umpire is going to blow his whistle.
It's a lucky packet.
The same happened to Timothy Clement, where he was in the middle of the two Aussies. Like, neither were coming into him. He receives it, and they go, no, Argentina ball. And you're like, well, I mean, what's going on here, guys?
Yeah.
That's why I say get rid of this rule and just let the high ball play.
Okay.
If someone gets hit, then you blow it, right?
If it becomes dangerous, then
Tommy Santiago got hit in the head. High ball into the circle.
French player
comes in, misses the ball because he wants to one time it on goal. Santiago is there, he gets a hit in the face.
Lucky you had a helmet. If that's a field play and you get hit in the head.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there are so many pros and cons. But if we don't find one line where the umpires go, then we will never stop discussing
this. It's different. Like, you in the goals, you're full of kid. So like, there's got to be an understanding of like what's protective and what's not protective.
If he hits next to my helmet and to my neck.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You've got to define that.
Because
I think a lot of players think, oh yeah, but you have kit on. So yeah, it's not that dangerous to you. But if you don't define it, then
it's sick and hurt.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Other thing I wrote down in my little notes book was the utter joy of Baumgarten after the 3-2 lead by France when he was really celebrating with Heinhies as a kid of 5 years old, happy that his team had scored. I loved it. I really loved it. The pure joy when your team scores an important goal at a World Cup. That's nice. It's nice to see that. Also for France, huge miss by Elliot Curti in the end of the game that could have brought France up by two. Should have that been a goal?
Game-changing moment. If he scores this, it's done. I don't see Argentina coming back from a But should from it, trailing two goals.
Because my first opinion was you cannot, it's impossible to miss that chance. But eventually he did.
You've seen it.
Yeah, okay, but at this level, you cannot miss. Kevin, you as a coach, what are your thoughts on
that? No, it's crazy. You know, you can't miss anything like that. I said it the other day, the high balls, I can't understand. I can't run very fast. Mm-hmm. Overweight and fat. But I can trap a ball and I can throw a high ball. And at a World Cup, if you can't throw a high ball over 30, 40 meters as a defender, but you're missing out on something. If you're a striker and you can't score a goal that's expected,
Yeah, he's a midfielder, but
still. No, midfielder, striker, attacking players. Anyone but defenders. Yeah. Including Jethro Eustace playing in the midfield for South Africa today, because he was playing in the midfield at stages. Took Tanya's position.
The end of the game, France, they were leading by 4-3. Everybody thought Victor Charlet scored the defining goal of this group, and then just 11 seconds before the end of the game, were they crap in the last 2 minutes? Was Argentina, did they just...
Emotions. I think their emotions must have been so high and so happy. When that ball got crossed into the circle, you saw they were not ready to intercept it correctly. Mm-hmm. That's a lesson for them.
Yeah, and Nico Della Torre scored once again. And, of course, Victor Charlet. Yeah, he's to blame a bit, I think, on that final goal, because he ran out too quick and therefore had to leave the penalty corner. And he was the guy they were missing to defend that corner.
Well, I can't say for sure if he came out too early.
That I don't know, but yeah.
It's a call which was made, but still you have three guys in the goal and the goalkeeper.
Yeah. It was centimeters next to Thierry's foot. And De La Torre, he did it.
Yeah, well done by Nico. He scored three goals in this game as well.
Yeah. So
I think that's also worth mentioning.
So Nico Della Torre, and therefore was a 5-5 draw. It was a 5-5, I thought it was 4-4, but so many goals. Yeah. It was a 5-5 draw, of course, and therefore Argentina ended up second in Pool A and France third. That means Argentina will play South Korea in the crossovers. But before we talk about crossovers, we have to talk about the other pool, Pool B, Pool of the Belgians and the Germans. Okay, Belgium against Japan. Task was really, really easy. Belgium had to beat Japan with as many goals as possible to put pressure on the Germans. And they did. They won 7-1. But did the Belgians play a good game of hockey or not?
As Toby will say, they did their job.
Yeah.
Yes, but to be honest, today we can be a bit more harsh. It was a really, really boring game.
Yeah. And the second quarter was good.
The second quarter was great.
But the Belgians were never under pressure. They just stick to the game plan. Third quarter was maybe not as good, but there was never any fear on the result or whatsoever. Because if you compare it to the game of India, where they also had to score 7 goals, I guess. They were really pushing for it and rushing everything. The Belgians stayed calm, did what they had to do.
Yeah, but India was in a different situation. India was in a situation where Germany was, because they played the last game of the pool, so they knew what they had to do. Belgium's task was just to score goals.
Yeah.
And they disappointed in the first quarter. It was not a nice game to watch, to be honest. Second quarter, finally, and I'm really happy, that he shows it also on international stage. Tom Bond started scoring goals. He had a difficult start to the tournament. And now he shows that he can score goals like he does in the league.
And once again, he scores 4 goals in a World Cup game. Already did that in 2014 against Malaysia. Everybody thought he scored 5 goals today, but in the post-game interview, he was honest and said, "I didn't touch that ball from Dokie. Therefore, I only scored 4 times."
What a sportsman!
That's a blue card.
Does it say anything about the team spirit of Belgium? Or because if he said, "Oh yeah, I scored 5 goals," nobody would have known, because in the replays it's not that clear. And
no, I think it's good of him to say it. I think really, I personally know some people who wouldn't do that.
Who?
Why are you looking at Tane?
Pain Tate.
I would definitely do that.
No. Tane definitely would.
I'll definitely be like,
but I think there's some people who just wouldn't even think about it. And to think about giving that goal to your teammate, it's great. As Tobe said, bit disappointing that game. And I think at 2-1, the Japanese had a shot.
Yeah, by Yamazaki. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could have changed the game at 2-2. Belgium didn't play their best game, but again, they just came. They had to do their job.
It was already, I think they scored only the 4-1, so it was a 2-0. If you want to do a recap of that?
No. No, but it was not the most interesting game in the world to watch. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The only thing is the Alex Hendricks injury. It's
a shitty one.
That's huge.
Not sure.
Yeah. Fuck. Who's to blame? Nobody. It's just...
No, he just rolls over onto the other guy. And
yeah, Yamada, he's
not really...
It's actually... For me, it's actually Hendricks who comes into the lane of Yamada.
Oh, it's just unfortunate, eh?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yes, exactly.
And cross fingers that he's okay because... Yeah.
There's no news on him yet. Tomorrow, back in Bhubaneswar, he will have an MRI. And then they would know how severe that injury is. If it's a severe injury, he would be probably replaced by Max van Oost, the other defender on the reserve list. Or should they bring an attacker and bring Nico de Kerpel back in the defense? No.
Bring a pure defender.
Yeah, logical choice to bring in a defender.
Bring
defender
Max.
For defender.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, don't go switching around.
Has Belgium a problem on the penalty corner without Hendricks? Because they're now, I think, 2-for-19 for the tournament. That's the best stat to put on the board. But
no, I don't think so. I think that they have some quality flickers there, and if the responsibility is given to them and they know that Alex is not playing, I think they'll be okay.
You still have three good flickers with Loic Lappard, Tombon, and Cousins, and then you have 3-4 other players also can flick.
Yeah, and you've got other options there. Goetz can just hit the ball or go onto his backhand. We've seen him do it in the league so often. So I don't think that they have a huge problem. Of course, you want the best flicker in the world to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that, you make a plan. And
besides those top three flickers they have, they still have other flickers who flick for the club, like the Slova, like Kina, like Denaev. De Kerpel, Denaev. Yeah. They all can flick.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see Jonjon on the top of the circle.
He had a big chance.
A really hard shot.
Yeah, but good from Jonjon. Hey? Well done. That's the old Jonjon pushing through lines, getting in the 9-yard area. Fantastic. Good.
Honestly, more go with Charrier.
Do more. Jonjon, run.
I think Belgium is doing it differently than they did at the Olympics, where they really relied on the penalty corner of Alex Hendricks. And now, everybody scores loads of field goals from the Belgian team. It's more fun to watch, to see them score field goals than just inevitable Alexander Hendricks on the top of the D.
Hey, look at that goal from Seb Dokje. What a goal.
That was a great one.
And if they can score those
three of them,
involved.
The second one, because he scored
was the second.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a fantastic goal. And if you can score goals like that, well, it's nice to watch.
It's also about getting into the circle, and that's what they do. And I said it in the preview. In the first episode, if the guys know that Hendricks is not on the field, because we were saying, what if he's out for the tournament? They still have the other flickers, and they know maybe they need two or three attempts more, and then they will get those two, three attempts more. Or they score the field goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not searching.
And they have the quality. They have the quality.
Yeah.
Look at Charlier scoring again.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
First goal.
What a guy.
Like you said before about Govers scoring the important goals, Charlier does it again.
Yeah.
Like he did in the previous game. Yeah. He's
he searches for work, eh? Well, Charlier, he's always like, you see him in the circle and he's always busy, like from the start, no matter what kind of game he's having.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying to do something, which is nice to see. And I think it has a huge impact on the rest of the strikers when he's getting active, involved, and other guys start to go, okay, fuck, let's get going a bit, yeah. But yeah, when I look back at the Belgian game, guys, I still look at the boring side to it and why it's so boring and why the control makes it so boring.
No.
I mean, they 7-1. Obviously, they win by a good margin. But like, is that control, are they able to switch it up when they come to a big game? Are they able to flip it? We can go all the way back to Rio and look at that game, that final, loads of possession. Same style, never looking like losing it, lose it.
Mm.
It's always a question mark, eh?
Yeah, it's a huge question mark, and it's so easy to forget these guys. They just come and they do their job. Like, it's like at one stage, it's not boring, but it's just autonomous and it just happens. Yeah. And their job is quite simply get out of that pool phase, and then for them, that tournament starts.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Really curious to see. But you can see how much quality they have at Taino.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will be able to.
The same against Germany in the end when they really had to do something when they came behind. there was quality enough. They accelerated and they scored that equalizer. And for me, the Belgians played a better pool phase than they did back 4 years ago. Because now every time when they had to do something, they did it. And nobody was worried. So for me, they had a better pool phase than back in 2018.
Yeah, they were worried a bit because they also had a few injuries and sick people. So you have to maintain
this. 3 games and you never played with a full squad.
You never played with a full squad. So they also have to see how everything works out. Van Doorn played back again. John made his second game after being sick. Gunja missed the last game. Now Alex is out. You really have to maintain your players.
Anything on Japan? They had a decent third quarter. They at that moment, I think they had the feeling, oh, maybe we can get some more goals out of it. They only scored once, but
no, I think well played. I know 7-1 doesn't look really nice, but I think if you look at 7-1 and well done to Japan.
Yeah, it's a young team.
I think that's it. If you look at
the team on the rise,
the team average, the age. It's 22 years. They're the youngest team at the World Cup.
24, but yeah, still the youngest.
24, they look like a under 21 team, but they do a great job. They perform on an okay level. Yeah, we will see if they stay together as a team like this. It's going to be interesting next year.
So Belgium won 7-1. Therefore, Germany needed to win by a margin of 9-8. Wasn't good enough because Belgium had more field goals than the Germans, so they had to win by a difference of 9. Wow, they came close. At one moment, 7 minutes before the end of the game, I really thought they were going to do it. I really thought.
Yeah, so we were really hoping.
We were really hoping.
Yeah, they go for it. They started really quick, scoring in the first minute.
First quarter, is it 1 and 2? Yeah, they started exactly the same in quarter one and two.
After the 1 minute.
They start in the first minute and then you think like, okay, these guys are on a mission. They really want to go for it. And I think they tried. But Korea is not a bad team. And also after they go 1-0 up, they miss 3 corners in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something we spoke about, is Gonzalo missing PCs.
Gonzalo Pelat, I don't think he has a great tournament so far. Haven't seen him against Belgium. Okay, they had no penalty corners, but still during the game, I had the feeling they're playing only with 10 players, and Gonzalo Pelat was only on the field just for the case when Germany has a penalty corner. Do you want to see more from him or?
Sure, Tobes. Come on, you know the ends of the German mind. Tell us, would that be true? Or?
I mean, you expect a lot from this guy. There's also a lot of pressure on him. Mm-hmm. Becoming German, playing for the German national team. So
Not singing the anthem.
Actually, he takes away a spot of an up-and-coming young player from Germany.
Therefore, you have to perform during the game. Because when he plays with Mannheim, he has more impact during the game as well.
Yeah, but that's national level. Yeah, that's not international level.
But that's what I like to see from Gonzalo Pelat at this level.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe not the leading player for a team, but in more moments, taking initiative and showing that you're one of the big guys of the team.
Is he one of the big guys of the team?
How do you take initiative also from left back? Like,
and touching 16 balls
again.
And no
one's rolling your balls. Like, what do you jump up and down and be like, hey guys, how's it? Check your passport.
Bring more if you see other left backs standing on the back line offensively, getting high balls. Maybe doing.
He did more of
breaking
that
a midfield line
towards the end of the game. Yeah, he did definitely more of that. But yeah, it's also he's also not 26 anymore or 24, 25. How old he was when they won gold with Argentina at Olympics, where he was on his absolute pinnacle of drag flicking. So a few years have gone by.
The Argentinians, I'm not saying they built their team around him, but they played, their defensive structure was really low.
And their strategy
they
win a ball, was built on.
They counterattack, and they knew they looked for pieces. So whereas the Germans, I can't see the German team changing their structure for him.
No.
There's a lot of pressure on him because everybody expects him to score literally every PC they have. Mm-hmm. But besides him, they also have a few other flickers.
Lucas Wintrader.
They didn't get that chance.
Does that put pressure on Gonzalo Pelat as well? Because you have those other drag flickers on the field saying, hey, give the ball to us because were good as well.
Of course, but we don't know if the team or if the coach decided for a number one drag flicker in this tournament. And mm-hmm. they say, okay, if he's on the field, he will get the ball.
The same thing, we said it during the game. They've got now France in the crossover. They're going to come to England. Imagine the first two PCs go to Winfeder. They're not going to expect that.
Mm-hmm. They're listening to the podcast, so they will be prepared for this.
I hope. Shout out to Jack tactics. Waller in India.
And Fred Soyer.
Put your sun cream on.
Wow. UV index is too low. You don't have to put sunscreen on.
Yeah, Jackie will burn everywhere.
Yeah, but Niklas Wellen, huge shout out. Mm. Performed very, very good.
Yeah, again, he's on a high.
Again.
He's on a high. He's solid, man. We didn't set it on the podcast because when we recorded it, we didn't know. But at the previous game against Belgium, his wife or girlfriend, I don't know if he's married, gave childbirth. So he became a father during the game against Belgium. And yeah, he's on a high and now everything goes well for him. He scores once again. Although we had a big chance in the end of the game that could have brought maybe Germany a bit closer to the to winning by nine in the end.
He cannot do everything on his own.
Yeah. But he has a
he's
he has
got
great,
three goals today.
He has a great tournament, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that player. Mm-hmm. When he played for Pinnacle, the same. He's a workhorse and everything. I don't know him personally, and everything, when you see him, it's for the team. He works for the team, he runs for the team, and I like that type of player. And he's getting good credits now. You can see him performing well.
Absolute top guy.
Yeah? Yeah. If you're compared to someone...
Come on, Tane.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit taller.
It's not all about height, eh, boys.
No.
Who's the best striker in this tournament so far for you guys?
Ooh. Sure. Niklas Wellen.
Niklas Wellen. Leg overs.
Niklas Wellen.
Niklas Wellen.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's hard. You can't just pick one, eh? They play different roles. Like some strikers' role is to really carry the ball, and if you look at the Indian strikers, their role is completely different to the way the Australian strikers play. Mm-hmm. But in their role, maybe Niklas Wellen.
Yeah, but if you look for a really complete player who can do a lot of things, like as we said, Wellen is great at defending. Really? He works really hard. He's a strong guy. He can score goals. He's a quick striker. Like he's the full package.
Yeah, and he's carrying the team. He's carrying the team.
He's carrying the team. He's vice captain of the team. So
he's the dad.
He's
daddy. Okay, then we give it to him. No discussion.
But are there other strikers who are competing for that spot with him? I think.
Well, it depends if Tom decides to come.
If he stays playing
Tom Graham Bush.
Of course.
You know, he didn't.
Yeah, Tom Bone, yeah. Yeah, but he only had one good game so far. So.
Well, he needs to get started, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He needs to be good when it counts. Not good in a pool game against Japan or South Korea or South Africa. You need to be good when it counts. Mm-hmm.
In the end, Jang scored also two penalty corners for South Korea. One in the dying seconds when Germany had no goalkeeper on the field. And yeah, all the Germans, they did the reasonable thing and just go out of the way.
Away.
You just can't go out of the way.
You can't defend a PC like that. Come on. Back to the drawing board.
if you see that penalty corner without any context, you would think, what is going on? But what they do is just the smart thing to do.
Of course, yeah. It's normal.
It would have been nice for Korea to run a variation, though. That would be
interesting.
That would have been very spicy.
Then end up in the forehand of a guy who's just running to the side.
Toby said they're all going to run out of the goal because you called it before.
Yeah.
But then... Flicks it 3 meters wide and hits a player in the head while running outside. No, they did what they had to do. I think if they did it seriously,
yesterday we saw
stupid.
Some we saw some flicks going 2 meters wide. You never know, huh?
It could have hit a few players.
Yeah, he did. He flicked one wide in the game. Huh? Yeah. He flicked one good few meters wide. So
that brings an end to Pool B as well. Belgium is top of the pool. Germany second, third. South Korea and Japan will play for some ranking games. That brings us to the crossovers on Sunday and Monday. We have, of course, the game between Malaysia and Spain. Tobias Walter, you said it already yesterday. You still believe in Malaysia. Is that just hope? Or do you really believe in a setup?
I do really believe in Malaysia because Spain hasn't shown us anything special yet. And Malaysia
only one game against Wales. And
yeah, that's not special. And Malaysia showed us that they can beat a big team.
Normally a similar team like
New Zealand.
Yeah, but for me, New Zealand and Spain at this moment are. I think maybe Spain is a bit better than New Zealand, but
yeah, and if Malaysia has
range,
a good day,
it's in the same range.
Yeah, if Malaysia has a good day, don't forget, if it's a draw, we go to shootouts. And as we all know, Malaysia is incredible in shootouts.
A little bit of pressure on the Spanish theatre.
Yeah.
No, but I think just on that, I think Malaysia could get a result there. I think if there's a couple of teams that they said, if we go to a crossover game, I think they're going to be like, okay, Spain, we're happy with that.
And Spain has to win. The pressure is on Spain.
And the job of Caldas is on the line.
No, he's not one of the coaches, you said.
No, before in the preview we said Max Caldas is just building towards Paris.
So give the Malaysians a win here. It would be great.
And you can start preparing for Olympics.
Yeah, and the Euros.
Just give them a couple of Euros
early. Yeah.
Also interesting one, Germany, France.
Ooh, Germany. I think that's a stress.
We, before the tournament and after the first game against Australia, we were quite hard on France because they didn't perform.
Maybe they needed it.
Yeah.
It's true. I speak to one or two of them. And
I think the resurrection of France, I'm quite impressed after the a big loss against Australia. They started the tournament when they said it would start. That was Fritz Wayer. He said before the second game, the tournament starts today. Not against Australia today.
Yeah.
And the team showed up. So I'm
it's good that they showed up.
No, but I'm really impressed that you can do that as a team just after a beating like that. Just the game you have to win. Okay, they won it against South Africa. Could have won against Argentina.
As you said, they knew from the beginning whether they lost 5-0 to Australia or 20-0. At the day, it means nothing.
Yeah,
their game then was South Africa, and of course they wanted to beat Argentina. They had that belief that they could, but their game was South Africa. They beat the South Africans, unfortunately, and well done to France. And we say that we were hard on them. Mm-hmm. But we have to be. That's kind of what we're doing this for, is to be critical on teams when they're doing something we think they can do better. And it's not just to bash people down, but we say we think you can do better. And the French, the way they performed today, you can see that they're doing well.
Mm-hmm. It's not like we can do this better, but
no.
We expect things. Yeah. Oh, and Germany, France is going to be a really nice game, I think. Germany will definitely watch really carefully the video of today when they played Argentina, and also France will be prepared. And they play each other quite often, so the teams will know each other. Can be really interesting.
Yeah. But France also beat Argentina, I guess, in the previous World Cup in the crossover. Can they do it again, or is this Germany better than Argentina was in 2018?
I mean, France beat Germany in the tournament in Cadiz they played before the World Cup.
Practice games.
It's practice games, but still, you know each other. You know each other really well.
Well, you know that you can probably get a result.
So it probably comes down to performance of the day.
I would like to see France winning, but I think the Germans are the better side, and they will end up in the quarterfinal against England. Then another team where we're kind of hard on New Zealand, because we think they can do better. They will meet the host India in the crossover. India, they performed well in the pool phase. They rushed it a bit in the third game, but the two other games put on a good performance. I think they need Harmanpreet flicking better than he did before in the tournament, but for me, India is the big favorite in that game against New Zealand.
Apparently, this is news we got from the Hockey Tourist that Shane McLeod is helping New Zealand a little bit behind the scenes, so maybe they come out with a bang.
is that just a joke?
Of course, it's a joke.
Otherwise you start a rumor.
No.
There's no rumors yet. Harmanpreet's also seeing the doctor, no? He's got a sore knee or something. Looking for.
No, I think India are too powerful for New Zealand. And I think New Zealand, maybe they can hang in there, but they also have some quite young players and playing in a huge stadium filled with a lot of shouting Indians.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult there. New Zealand aren't exactly firing at all.
Yeah, not the like, some of them are not the quickest guys, and they've got to play against missing. The team who likes running.
Yeah, they will get an ass whoop. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
They will get a beating.
Beating.
Proper beating.
I mean, listen, they're a tough, like they're a tough nation, eh? The Kiwis.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're playing India in India, it's madness, right? And if you're coming off the form that they currently on, sure, this is going to be chaotic playing in that stadium and trying to get your everything organized while all this chaos is happening. And these folks are playing high speed.
Can you hear each other when you play against India? Because you played against them in 2018.
Not a chance. The ball just has to be going forward in some direction. And the crowd's going wild. Eh? They're just losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not a nice environment to be in from that kind of point of view. But yeah, obviously, it's fantastic to have a full stadium.
The only thing I can see against India is India handle the pressure?
Can India?
I think they can. I think they're pretty comfortable playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a lot of good players that might just suddenly start to switch on a bit more. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's a proud moment for them, eh?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. But as I said, it's out of the pool stages. Now it's when the business starts. Yeah. We might see a complete different New Zealand.
Yeah, that's also true.
But hopefully we see the same New Zealand and they're full press and they go man to man, because that's going to be a cracker game if they do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Argentina against South Korea. I don't see any problems for Argentina, to be honest.
No.
No, they will go through.
Is South Korea the weakest team in the crossover? Because for me, in that game against Japan, that South Korea won 2-1. Japan was the better team. Yeah,
hard to say the weakest team there. I think that's mean, but
no, but yeah,
South Korea, but it's realistic.
It is South Korea. Yeah,
there's always the strongest team and there's always the weakest team. That's
okay, which is the strongest team?
Who's the strongest team there?
I think India.
Yeah, I guess if you're going India, you might as well. I don't know.
Difficult, because then you got to go, maybe Germany and Argentina, we throw close.
Yeah, and then you go, well, France and Germany had a great game, so now you throw France in there as well.
Because for me, India, for all the teams,
based on that.
So for each team in the pool, for me, India performed best. They didn't lose a game, huh? Okay, Germany neither, but they.
Yeah, but that game against Wales, I don't see it really as a successful game. They won.
Mm-hmm.
But when they went 3-2 up and only went 4-2 because the Welsh took their keep off. Yeah. I think. Yeah? So
they were rushing in the beginning. If they would have played their normal rhythm,
we said that was kind of the old India that we used to see years and years ago, and now it starts.
The basics. What do you need to win a tournament, to go far in a tournament? You need a good record flicker, a good keeper, maybe a scoring attacker. Normally, they have a good drag flicker with Harmanpreet. Srijesh and Patak, they're performing well. And with Akash Deep and Mandeep, they're scoring attackers. So.
Yeah, and I think you also need your team to be in the correct flow going into any game. So we speak about drag flickers and maybe someone who can score field goals and a good keeper. But also the atmosphere in your team is hugely important.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is not really tip-top shape, well, when the moment's getting tough, it's going to be hard to start fighting for each other. So easier for the teams that don't have some games, they can work on their team spirit and bonding and talk about that a lot more, but there's so much that goes into it.
And also you should consider that those games can go into shootouts.
Yeah.
So if you go from top to bottom, if you have to go to shootouts, who would you pick to go through?
Four. That first game between Malaysia and Spain, I really don't know. Because I think Spain won a penalty shootout last season against Belgium in the Pro League.
There was a Pro League season where Spain was amazing in shootouts. Yeah, they drew every game and won every shootout.
Yeah, the first season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different team, of course, but Germany, France, I really don't know.
Germany.
Germany.
I'll go for Germany.
Yeah.
As well.
No, but there's a lot of those French boys that play good indoor hockey, and I think they have that big spin.
All Germany is playing in the hockey.
If you go to shootouts, the German keeper, Alexander Stadler, is the better keeper compared to Thierry.
They can't. I don't think
yes.
But would they go with him as the number one keeper, or what's the second keeper?
Edgar Reynaud.
I think maybe they go with him.
Yeah, maybe
you saw the goal today that Keenan scores. It's quite a typical shootout goal.
Maybe even Germany would go with the second keeper, Danneberg, because he was at the Junior World Cup, the keeper with the shootouts.
Would you put in such an important game, a guy from 19 years old who has three or two caps?
Oh, if he's killing all the shootouts, yes.
Okay. India, New Zealand. Yeah. We talked about the New Zealand goalkeepers before. So I would say India, Argentina, South Korea.
Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina, definitely.
Argentina, come on.
Yeah.
Back Tommy Santiago there. He'll save 4 from 5.
That's pretty good.
4 from 5.
4 from 5.
Yeah. Okay, if this happens, then I invite you for dinner.
I like that.
Okay.
And Tommy. Tommy brings the wine.
Okay.
Sure, he has to.
Toby, now it's official, so Tobias Walter, umpire of the day. Was a difficult one today, I guess.
Yes. I was thinking about this quite a long time, and I've decided for an umpire, not because of the performance on the field, but off the field. We had a few questions during those games, and we were contacting our Dutch friend Koen van Bunge. Mm-hmm. He came back with a quick response, and I'm really happy that he did, and he's helping us out here. So, umpire of the day, Koen van Bunge from the Netherlands. Congratulations.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You should be able to apply for video umpiring.
Yeah, really, you should.
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to.
Yeah. Everyone.
No, not you, like
level.
Yeah. Because I was talking about video umpiring during the game of Belgium twice. Ben Gundogan, it was a 50-50 calls for me. And twice he decided the other way that I thought it was going to be. So, sometimes it's a 50-50 call in umpiring.
Yeah, and you see that when you see a scene on live television, it looks in one way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let the slow-mo play for 4 times.
Yeah.
And you think get a totally different view on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wonder what those teams are going to be doing now that have 5 days rest.
Wow.
I think the Belgians will rest.
Yeah, I think the Belgians will rest. But some of them need maybe to get some more game rhythm, because the way they played today, they looked a bit...
The English probably going to do a barista course.
Yeah.
Play some cricket in the hallway. With the Aussies.
Yeah,
The Dutch
Belgians are insane. What are the Dutch up to?
The Dutch, they played no real hard pool games, so...
They're going to train.
Maybe.
They're going to train.
Yeah.
Maybe they can blow Australia.
No, but they train.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to train, but hard or...
Really hard.
Really hard.
Or maybe some tours with a tuk-tuk through Bhubaneswar.
With the face mask on.
No, that's the Dutch, yeah.
Okay. That wraps it up for today. Thank you very much, Kevin De Martinez, Tobias Walter, and Tane Payton.
Thank you. Pulling in for Pascal Kina.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Big shoes to fill, but...
Yeah, huge shoes.
Yeah. You did great.
Thank you. I was a bit more calm, wasn't I? Probably my English was probably a lot better as well.
Tane.
Yeah. But I think your English is better than all of us. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
So if you would ever meet Tane, he's actually not speaking like this.
No, it's actually not how I speak.
Okay, thank you for listening once again. We'll be back on Monday after every crossover game. I'll be missing that one out, but you're in good hands with Kevin Martinez, Tobias Walter, Pascal Kina, and maybe Tay Payton.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'll be Flores for a while.
Yeah, you can be.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
my shoes aren't that big, guys. So always
I think you have bigger shoes than I have.
Oh, my tiny feet.
It's not about the size, huh?